Okay, so today we'll come back to that theme of God's miniature, and then we'll continue. Now, we've been already learned a lot about God's miniature, and then this is a sort of a last thing that we need to learn, which is about the glory, God's miniature and glory. Glory is very important. As you can see, everywhere in the Bible, you hear the word glory, God's glory. He shows his glory, and this earth is filled with his glory, and so on. And the temple, when the temple was built and the ark was carried in, glory of, in a cloud of glory filled the temple. And so the priests couldn't serve. They couldn't stand. They fell, but the Holy Spirit stood. Amen. Okay, anyway. So we'll talk about that today. Let's go to John 15 first. John 15. Okay. And then verse 8 is the main verse for this today's sermon. Verse 8 says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So this is to my Father's glory. So this is the glory of the Father, that you bear much fruit. That's the one thing. And then showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, obviously, showing yourselves to be my disciples, meaning, you know, you become Jesus' disciples and you follow him. Jesus is a teacher and he's the model, and you follow his footsteps and so on. And also, when you talk about the bearing fruit, you know, the most important fruit that you bear is loving each other, love, God's love. And then you are to love as Jesus loved you. Again, Jesus is the model. Amen? Jesus loved us. And then when we do those things, and when, it, you know, when we bear fruit, and when we you know, follow Jesus as his disciples, and these things are for Father's glory. It says, "This is to my Father's glory." Amen. Father's glory. Obviously, as the children of the Father, of God, and the Father, you know, all the glory comes from the Father, and the Father is, you know, covered with glory. You know, and then we are his children. Therefore, we have also some kind of glory too. Do you understand? Yeah, so how do you understand glory? Actually, God shows his glory through us. And how does he do that? How can we do, you know, in order to show Father's glory and so on? This is a big topic. In fact, I can have another series in talking about glory. But we'll do it today and maybe next time, two times. So, let's see. And obviously, you can say, Father's glory. This is to my Father's glory, the glory of the Father. What does that mean? Father's glory. Obviously, the glory, this glory comes from the Father. Glory comes from the Father. Now, let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Let's look at that. We'll look at many verses again today, so please follow me. Okay. Psalm 19. And the verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. The work of his hands. As you know, Hebrew poem is always, you know, has two lines, and two lines saying the same thing. Content is the same, but uses different, each one uses different phrases, different words, and so on. And so the heavens corresponds to skies, the same thing, right? Declare or proclaim, same thing, two verbs. And then glory of God corresponds to the work of his hands. Glory. So what is this glory when you talk about God's glory? That's the work of his hands, work that he does. Make sure that you know this is the work that he does. Amen. It's not a work that you do. Mistake comes, we're going to learn today the important points, one of the points that we learned today is we are not to take, we should not take God's glory for ourselves. We do that without knowing it, in fact, because this world, the world teaches us to do so. So we learned it, you know, from the world. So without knowing that we're taking God's glory after we became Christian, of course. And for something that God did, we say, I did, and we did, you did, not God. Yeah, and that's very bad, very bad. Amen. You know, this world, when you look at all the creation, God created, you see his glory. Why? Because it's a work of his hands. How wonderful and powerful, how wise and how deep he is. All of that, you know, shows his glory. All of that is a glory, his glory. And this psalm is singing that. Yeah, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Amen. 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 All right. And then let's go to John 17. This time New Testament, and these are the words Jesus spoke. John, Gospel of John. In 17 is the prayer that he prayed to the Father. And look at verse 4. Yeah, verse 4 teaches us a very important truth. Or maybe truths. Okay. Verse 4 said, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Again, it talks about the work here. And Jesus says, I have brought you glory on earth by completing. He completed. He did everything that the Father told him to do. Completing the work you gave me to do. And by doing so, he says, I have brought you glory. In other words, I have glorified you. Yeah, I gave all the glory back to you. Why so? Why so? The important truth, idea that he had. All this work that Jesus has done, wonderful work. Wonderful work. Miracles and wonderful work. Not just the miracles, but the words and so on, actions and everything. He did all those things because God told him to do. Right? Nothing came from just from Jesus himself. Everything came from the Father. And then as Jesus went on living that way, God the Father worked and did the work. Jesus knew it. And therefore, he said, by doing so, I glorify you. I have glorified you. He didn't say, I did it. Even Jesus didn't say, I did it. Amen. I glorify you that way. And I glorified you because I have done all the work that you told me to do. Hallelujah. That's the way that we should think, and that's the way that we should confess. Okay? And we have to be careful, therefore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. So now, that's the basic things now. Okay. There are, you know, when you think about, sit down and think about this, you know, when you talk about the glory, you can see that there are two kinds of glory. Like there are two kinds of spiritual sort of a kingdom. One is God's kingdom, and another is Satan's kingdom. And then there are a lot of things, and just two kinds. And here too, you can say there are two kinds of glory. Now, obviously, one kind is the glory that comes from God. Okay, and another kind, what do you think? Now, let's look at John, Saint John, in chapter 5. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about. So let's find out what he said. Chapter 5, verse 41 says, I do not accept the praise from men. Praise from men. Translated as a praise from men in NIV. But this word praise in Greek is doxa. Doxa always, most of the time, translated when it's talking about, of course, God's glory. It's glory, glory. But in this case, it's the glory of man. So you don't want to say glory of man, glory of man. You know, glory for God is for God. So they, rather than translated as glory from man or glory of man, they are translated as a praise. But know that it's a praise. The word praise is the same word, doxa, in Greek, glory. So I do not, Jesus said, accept the praise or glory from men. That's one kind, therefore. Glory of men. But I don't accept it. But I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. Yeah, so this kind of attitude, seeking, when you seek glory from men, then you don't have the love of God. See? Love of God has a lot to do with it. And verse 43, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you understand what it means to come in somebody's name. In his own name. Yeah, talking about glory. Yeah, do you understand? I mean, understand the expression here. Comes in his own name. Jesus said, I have come in the name of the Father. Father sent him. Everything he did was from Father. Everything he said was also from Father. Nothing he spoke on his own. I mean, understand? So that means that he came in the name of the Father. He did everything in the name of the Father. But someone comes in his own name and do everything as he want to do, and you know, as they see, and then you see that's the a glory of man. And then he says, if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him because why? Well, same kind. Same nature. You're familiar with it. So, in other words, people do this in this world because, everybody wants this kind of honor, this kind of a praise from men. And so, when someone else, your friend is seeking that, then you give it to him. You give a praise, saying that next time when I come in my name, you do the same to me, okay? Okay? So they do that way, you see. They accept each other. Yeah. Okay. Then Jesus said, I don't do that. I don't do that. I'm different. I don't seek that kind of glory, in other words. Yeah? Amen? So Jesus is very different. And then verse 4 says, how can you believe if you accept the praise from one another? Praise from one another, same thing. Glory from one another. Glory of men. Yet make no effort to obtain the praise. Praise again in Greek is a doxa. Glory that comes from the only God. God the Father. Amen. See, so you can see also verse 44. According to what Jesus said, it is okay, and in fact, it is better, and then in fact, you should seek the praise that comes from the Father. Are you with me? Yeah. You cannot obtain both glory. Just like you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money, wealth, at the same time, Jesus said. In the same way, you cannot seek glory of man at the same time you seek the glory from God. Impossible. These are two, completely different kinds of glory. I seek 50% glory from man, and then another 50% from God. It's okay. No, you cannot do that. Amen. In other words, in order to seek God's glory, you have to give up completely the glory of man. You have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. That's a disciple. By becoming disciples, you say, Father, receive. This is to my Father's glory, Jesus said. This is to my Father's glory. When you become disciples and follow Jesus in his footstep, it's a wonderful, wonderful glory. But that means though, deny yourself, and then take up your cross, and then follow. So the glory that, here, this glory that comes from God, this kind of glory, better kind, of course, the true glory, is not something that the people today will think, even Christian might think, different. That's why we misunderstand. Amen. And when you know, then when you see this kind of good, kind of true kind of glory, it is good to seek it. In fact, you should. Every Christian should seek. Jesus sought it, and he showed his glory that way. Hallelujah! And he's our model. That's God's miniature. Hallelujah. You know, like Paul, said, I'm running in this world and preaching the gospel. You see? And then what he was thinking was after he finished all the tasks on earth, go to heaven and see Jesus, I will receive the crown of glory. That's what I'm looking at all the time. I want to receive it. I want to receive it. And that motivated him to go and preach in the midst of persecution, in spite of all the persecution, hardships. He went on preaching. He sought it. Glory. Are you with me? It's not only okay, you should seek it. In fact, when you see Christians as they grow up, at the beginning, of course, they just came out from the world. They still seek the glory of men. And they don't know nothing about the glory. And then as they grow up, they they're cleansed. They feel sort of come to feel shame, sort of, you know, the way that they used to seek the glory of man, and they change, and gradually they look for more and more in the glory of God. You see, think about the heaven and giving up all those things that men are seeking, and then think about the when you actually see Jesus face to face and what he would say to you and so on and so on. And when you see that kind of change in their life, oh, he's grown up spiritually. He's grown spiritually. That's a true Christian. Amen. So this kind of thing is a sort of a works as a meter, as I see it. You see, a lot of people are still in the stage that they're all still seeking the glory of man. It doesn't mean that God cannot use those people. He can still use them, but we have to be careful. Yeah, because that kind of people will start doing things selfishly, and so you have to watch over them all the time. Okay, but anyway, now let's go to Genesis for a while and think about this, okay? And because as Christians, we in this church too talked about the glory, and you should not seek God's glory. It's not good, and to seek when you seek glory and so on. And so you might have that kind of impression that glory you should not seek, and so that belongs to God only. And for man, there is no glory, and so on. That's not true, in fact. Okay, so step by step. Okay, I couldn't teach this kind of thing at the very beginning. Maybe 5 years ago. So 5 years ago, no glory, no. But as people grow more, they say I can teach deeper things. And when you go to Genesis 1. Okay, Genesis 1, when God created human beings, God said, verse 26, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. When you talk about the image and likeness means likeness. God is like what? God is covered with glory. He has glory, and then in his likeness, we were created. Amen. So from the very beginning, at the very beginning of creation, human beings had already some degree of God's glory. Now we are not, of course, humans were not completely equal with God. No way. Especially, as you know, Genesis 1, this creation story of human beings is about the kingship. This kind of glory is the majesty kind of glory. He gave to us majesty. So, are you living with that? Are you living that way? God wants you to live that way. I'm not talking about the physical beauty or physical glory, spiritual. When you go to spiritual world, all angels and evil spirit, all those spiritual beings are very sensitive about the glory. That glory for them is a reality. Just like when you look at, with the physical bodies in this world, look at people and say, oh, in good shape. Oh, beautiful. And look at all the flowers, beautiful. And we have already, a sense of knowing the beauty. In the same way, in the spiritual world, okay, people, and they, not people, spiritual beings, they look at each other, and one thing, they always look, see this beauty. Something is beautiful, glorious. So for them, this glory is really real. But then, important that the glory in a physical sense that we see in this world is not the same as the angels see in their world when they see the glory. It's not equal, you know, same thing. Do you understand? That's a very basic thing. Amen? Even though your shape is so good, you look beautiful, and put on beautiful, expensive clothes, but then angels look at you, there's no glory in the spiritual world. Nothing. Whereas in clothes is not expensive. Now, of course, clothes are not terrible, but not shining or anything like that. When people look at, I'm sorry, angels look at, oh, glorious. Lot of glory, lots of glory. They see that way. You know, the evil spirits are very sensitive about that. So when evil spirit, you know, demon-possessed person comes, first thing that it is, they did it. Oh, Son of the Most High, don't cast me out. So sensitive about the glory. Jesus was shining. Amen. But outside, nothing. Nothing. Doesn't mean he was wearing dirty clothes or anything. Doesn't mean so, but just, you know, normal. But in spiritual world, so shining. Amen. So, okay, glory in this world and glory in the spiritual are not the same. But it's important. But anyway, and then when you go to chapter 2 also talks about the glory, although the word glory itself doesn't occur. Think about this. As you know, Eden is a mountain where God lived, and there's a garden of Eden, and the river came from the mountain, and then, you know, went watering all the garden, and from a garden came four rivers and watered whole earth. And that's, as I say all the time, it's exactly structured how the temple was made. And in relationship with the world. You know that, right? So God, in Garden of Eden is a temple, or Eden also included mountain. Mountain is holy of holy, and Eden is, you can say, holy place. It's a temple. And Adam was put there, indicates he was what? Priest. He was a priest. He served as priest. And then when you talk about the priest there, as you know, Exodus 28, as God, you know, gave instruction as to how to make priestly garments. Quite long he spends talking about priestly garments. How many know that? Now let's look at the Exodus 28. Exodus 28. Okay, this is the beginning of it. About the priestly garments. Let's look at verse 1. Have Aaron, your brother, brought to you from among the Israelites, along with his sons Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, so they may serve me as a priest. Make sacred garments for your brother Aaron to give him dignity and honor. In fact, NIV paraphrase it. A little translation would be like this. First part is okay. Make sacred garments for your brother Aaron for glory and beauty. Hebrew word for glory is kabod. And for some reason, in NIV, hesitated to translate it as glory. But usually translated as glory. here translated as a dignity. Because you're talking about only garments, and see, you glory. Maybe they thought that way, I don't know. But kabod is used, you glory. So for glory and beauty, or even you can translate, make sacred garments for your brethren Aaron as glory and beauty. Meaning garments are, and, you know, themselves are glory and beauty. And God gave them to priests. So garments symbolically, you know, meant that God's glory. Hallelujah. Priests, spiritually, in other words, in the spiritual world, priests are the ones that to whom God gave this particular, you know, special glory, different from other people. Mm-hmm. Putting on the, quite details of instruction as to what material that you are to use, even the thread and so on, what color, and he gives a, you know, instruction as how to make. Because it was important. It was not just for looks. I mean, you know that. Because it symbolically, it symbolizes the glory that all angels see in the spiritual world. This is a shadow of it. All of, in fact, the instructions given about the tabernacle and the temple are like that, shadows. I mean, no, shadows of spiritual reality, what angels see in their world. Amen? So note that Adam was putting on that priestly garment. God gave him that. Oh, look, Bill. Yeah? But he wasn't realized. In fact, he was not, he wasn't so conscious about wearing that clothes because he never put it off, you know. Well, once he sinned, he came to realize the difference. What happened? Oh, no, I'm naked. Well, he was naked before, but he didn't know. Why he didn't know? Because he was putting on that spiritual garments, priestly garments, so shining with glory. Lost it. Look at it. It looks like a monkey, just, Homo sapiens or whatever. Wow, so miserable. And so he tried to make a clothes with the fig leaves. Doesn't work well. So God gave, made a skin with the skin, with clothes, and then put them, on them. But anyway, you see, he was therefore. He lost his priesthood. He was kicked out. So that's why he couldn't stay in the Garden of Eden anymore. He was kicked out from the temple. He lost his job. So, what? That's not the end. Jesus came! Amen! What happened when he was on the cross? He was crossed, nailed to the cross, completely naked. That meant that he was walking naked all the time? No, he was wearing clothes. Yeah. But soldiers took it off, and then they cast lots to receive. And that's one of the shares that he talked about. Share. And they said, I wash your hand, you will not have a share. Share. Clothes. He gave. He was wearing it. He was a high priest. Wearing that clothes all the time. Oh, that's why he was, so shiny in the spiritual world, of course. Oh, you know, evil spirits and some bowed down and they went out. He put it up and he gave it to us. both, in fact, priest and also royal clothes as well. And when you talk about the royal clothes, let's talk about the royal clothes. I skipped it. Psalm 8. Let's look at Psalm 8. Psalm 8. As you know, this is a famous passage talking about humans besides Genesis 1. And, okay. Psalm 8, and look at verse 4 and following. What is man that you are mindful of him? You know, we don't know who we are, in fact. Without the Bible, we would have, you know, would not know what and what we are, who we are. You see, so psalmist is singing, what is man that you are mindful, that God, you know, cares about people and he loves us, and who are we? You see, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man, that you care for him? And verse 5, he knew the answer, of course. He made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. Lower, what do you mean lower? Not completely equal with God. So a little bit lower. But even when you talk about God, a little bit lower, wow, a lot of glory, of course. Amen. So it says, the second line says, crown him with glory and honor. Amen. Glory, this time, kavod is translated as glory. That's good. And honor, second word, can be translated, in fact, it's better translated as majesty. You talk about the kingly, you know, majesty. I mean, understand? That kind of glory and beauty. So glory and majesty crowned him. Hallelujah. That's what we are, including women too. Amen. Hallelujah. But this is a spiritual, okay? Spiritual reality. Spiritual reality. Amen. Yeah. So that's the same thing to say, we were created in God's image. Now, so we have both, you know, this our majesty, which about the king, you know, king, and also kingly, priestly garments, since they're talking about the priest. Both kinds of glory, because we are royal priesthood. Both. Wow. Both kind of clothes that you're putting on. Must be hot then. Really thick. Hallelujah. You know, when you go to First Peter, chapter 2, when you read it carefully, you see this the theme that we've been talking about, same thing, or the truth is hidden there. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But you are our chosen people, a royal priesthood. Or simply, you can say royal priest, royal-priest. But they hesitated to translate that way, royal priesthood. And then holy nation, people belong to God. And then that you may declare is the same thing as a proclaim, like a proclaiming good news. The praises, though, the praises of him, praises of him. Now, when you talk about the praises in the Old Testament, who actually leads, what kind of people leads praises? When people worship, of course everybody can praise, but then who are the main people? Obviously, priests and Levites. Priests praising God. Yeah. Don't think the priests, their job is only to give sacrifices, sacrifices. Yeah, that was the main thing. They spent a lot of hours doing that in the Old Testament. But none of those today are necessary. Not anymore. So, priestly, royal priesthood, what do we do? Nothing? No, praises! Don't forget. Hallelujah. Very important. Praises! Especially giving thanks. There's one particular sacrifice, the only sacrifice that has nothing to do with sin, with giving, thanksgiving offering. Yeah? Giving thanks. Hallelujah. That's the only kind of offering that we can give after Jesus. Because Jesus took care of all the sins and sin offering, guilt offering, and those are things. You know, we don't have to give anymore. Yeah. But offering sacrifice of thanksgiving, we should. Which is actually praises. Amen? Praises. And that's the job of a priest. And then he says, praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Not that it's talking about light. Now, again, in the Old Testament, not just Old Testament, but including the New Testament, whole Bible, light and glory are synonyms. Because that's what we see. Glory, glory means light. It shines. Amen. When Jesus was born, you know, and those are shepherds, and angel appeared, and it was so shiny. And it says, it's a glory. And then many angels, mounted angels appeared. And what did they sing? Glory in the highest. Glory means light. Light means glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So with this royal priesthood, you know, this has this, you know, wearing garments of glory. And what do you do with this glory? You go out and declare, you know, praises of him who is a brought you out. You used to be so dark, black. Nothing comes from it. Amen. But now you are changed, so shiny. Go out and declare, shiny, show it. Amen. Amen. In order to show, you know, you're to show the glory of God. Light. Light. That's the job of a priest. Royal priest. Hallelujah. That's us. Amen. Amen. Okay. So now, let's come back to John. So we were talking about two kinds of glory. One more time. Let's look at John 5. Come back to that theme. So it's, now you understand, okay? Jesus here, as the way he explains verse 41 and following, there is two kinds of glory, and the people always seek the glory of men, but we are to seek the glory of God. We are to seek the glory of God. Amen? And then let's go to John 17. 17. And let's read from verse 1. After Jesus said this, this is the prayer that Jesus prayed to the Father. Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Yeah. So you can see, you glorify Father, and the Father also glorify you. Now, don't think that this is, of course, Jesus was a special, so you could say that, but then as a God's miniature, it applies to us as well. Amen? Maybe not exactly in the same way, but to some degree, it applies to us as well. He is the model. He showed the example. Amen? It goes always two ways. Father gives you glory, and then you glorify the Father as well. Amen? And the glory itself comes from the Father. Glory doesn't come from yourself. Okay? You have nothing of glory in yourself. Glory comes. So when Father wills to give, and when he decides to give glory, then he does. He gives us, he gives you glory. And then don't take it. I mean, just for yourself. Jesus, and he said, glorify me and glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Right away he says that. Are you with me? You know, light, for instance, and black. Why is it black? Color, black. Light goes here. Just the same light goes to this one. But then it looks black. To me, how about you? It looks like. Why is it black? Because all the lights, this thing receives it, takes it. Nothing reflects, and it doesn't reflect the light, so that it looks black. You know that in the universe is so-called black holes, and everything just absorbs. Light is the particles, and it has it is a matter. We found out, so it has weight, and so gravity. When that black hole is so strong, gravity has so strong. It absorbs everything. Nothing goes out from there. Everything goes. That's why it looks black. Why it's called black hole. And everything goes in there. But of course it doesn't, continue. It doesn't continue to receive it forever. Once you receive, it gets bigger, 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 heavier, 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 heavier. And it becomes too heavy, and then something happens. Yeah. So it goes a cycle. Now, that's a theory, of course, and scientists never experienced it. You cannot experiment it because you're talking about a big thing, But anyway, black, because it's, don't be black. In other words, what you need to do is you need to be like a what? Mirror. Everything just reflects. God gives a light, and right away, you give it to God. Give back to God. Bible says many times, for instance, maybe we can look at Psalm 29. Put your finger there, we'll come back. Psalm 29. You should know this. I assume you know this if you read the Bible. You should know it, but sometimes you cannot assume people. The Bible says, give back God's glory. What? Give back? Why? You see, Christians even are not familiar with that kind of expression. So now here translated, Psalm 29, verse 1, ascribe. Literally, give. I don't like this, ascribe. Give to the Lord all mighty ones. Now also this translated as mighty ones, little trust. It's a B'nai Elim, sons of God. Why they don't translate as the sons of God? I don't know. Even Japanese, say, chikara aru mono. Ne, really though, B'nai is the sons. And Elim is probably a short form of Elohim, and sons of God. Give to the Lord, O mighty one, ascribe to the Lord, give to the Lord, and what they are to give, what they need to give, glory and strength. Give back. Now, this glory and strength itself doesn't come from you either. You don't have it. God gave them to you, right? Strength, glory. How did you come to have those? God gave them. Then give back to them. Give back to Him. Bible says. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is when you receive it, in a selfish way, as I said, you are saying, I didn't do it. God didn't do it. I did it. Something good happened, and the people say, oh, what's wonderful. So, that's me, yeah. You say nothing about God. You don't say, God did it. You say, yeah, it's me. But what you are to say is, no, I didn't do it. God did it. It's not me. It's God. By saying that, you're giving glory back to God. Amen. Amen. So both ways. And then when God sees you that way, and He gives you more glory. And then if He gives, you bring Him back. You can bring Him back. And go. It should be that way. Amen. Okay. So coming back to John 17. Okay, we were reading verse 1. Father, time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those you have given Him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing, I have brought you glory on her, we read this, by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me, He said, in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Maybe this part, you see, doesn't apply to us because we didn't have glory and we are not the Son God. Do you understand? But He had it, you see, He had it, but He put it off. That's why, give me again. Give me again. That's why He says, give me again and give me that, glory that I had before the world began. Amen. Amen. But still, you can see the truth that the glory itself is only given by the Father. Yeah, that's why Jesus is asking. Father is the one who gives glory. He is the source of all the glory. It's His decision. That's why Jesus is asking Him to give Him the glory. Do you understand? Amen? If Jesus can make a decision, he doesn't have to pray this way. Right? But the Father is the one who gives the glory to him. So he's asking him. Amen. Now, let's go on to a deeper side. Let's go to John 13. John 13, and then verse 31 and following. When he was gone, Jesus said, this is at the Last Supper. Who was gone? Judas. Judas Iscariot. Jesus had just said to him, whatever you're planning to do, just go ahead and do it quickly. So he went out. So when he was gone, he said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified. God means Father. Is glorified in him. Why is he talking about? What has that, glory have to do with the Judas Iscariot? He went out. Why so? To think about. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself. Again, there's two directions you see here. Are you with me? God is glorified in him, in Jesus. And then God will glorify the Son in himself. Both ways. Yeah? Amen? It has to be. It cannot be just one way. When it is just one way, problem. You have to reflect. We don't have that glory. We are to just reflect his glory. Hallelujah. Amen. But anyway, okay. And then verse 33, my children, I'll be with you only a little longer. And you will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. So what is this that he's talking about here? Glory. What is it? Okay. What time he's talking about here? Now is the time. Now is the Son of Man glorified. Judas just went out. You can see Judas went, betrayed, and then comes back to Mount Olive. That's how Jesus was captured. So everything is just as a plan going to happen. And then Jesus knew it. And by knowing that, he said, now, amen, the Son of Man glorified. And God is glorified. But what is it that Jesus is really talking about? His death. Don't forget. Right? How else can you read? And then when you flip a couple of pages, you see back, go to chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. Passover was coming soon. So a lot of people were traveling to Jerusalem. So they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. And Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. These Greeks really wanted to follow Jesus. And so they wanted to ask if we could follow. So that's why they said that we would like to see Jesus. And so Philip didn't know what to say. So he went to Andrew, and then Philip and Andrew came to Jesus and asked a question. Jesus replied, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. What kind of hour is this? And then I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. Why he talks? We know what he's talking about, his death here, right? His death. And then, verse 25, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. In other words, those Greeks, about those Greeks and Jesus. Okay, go ahead, let them follow. He accepts them there for us. In other words, as you know, the salvation of Gentiles were kind of secret, you know, hidden in the Bible. And nobody thought that the Gentiles would be saved. But Jesus knew, of course, through him, Gentiles will be saved. And this is a sign. This is a sort of, until that time, all the disciples were Jews. But then here, Greeks came and they wanted to follow. And he realized the time has come. Time to what? To do what? And what kind of time? Obviously, death. Because, you know, through his death, this Gentiles and, you know, and the Jews are put together in Christ, you see. And so when you go on, so he talks about the, as you know, the loves, you know, the man who loves his life will lose it. Yeah, while the man who hates, that's the, the attitude the disciples should have. Amen? And Jesus said exactly the same thing when Peter said, when Jesus spoke about his death and sufferings and resurrection, Peter said, nothing of that happens to you. And Jesus turned and said, get behind me, Satan, and so on. In other words, disciples have to deny themselves, disciples of Christ, deny themselves and take up a cross and follow. Those are the disciples. Amen. And Jesus said, John 15, we just read verse 8, this is to my Father's glory, you see, that you become, you becoming my disciples. My disciples. And that is for God's glory. Denying yourself and take up your cross and follow. Same thing, same attitude. And Jesus was going to die. Do you understand? So the glory here, the kind of glory that you see here is the very different from what we normally expect. Completely different. This is where people make a mistake here. We don't want this kind of, if it's a glory, but I don't think it's glory, you know, people will say, you know, I don't need it, I don't need it. Obviously they instinctively sort of reject that kind of thing. I don't want that. They stay away from it. You see? Then they are out, you are out from God's glory. This kind of glory, you cannot have it. Do you understand? Go on, verse 27. He said, now my heart is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Huh? Now it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Sounds familiar, isn't it? Yeah. The prayer is very similar to the prayer at the Gethsemane, as you obviously see. And John's gospel doesn't have the prayer of the Gethsemane as the other synoptic gospels, but he has this. In Gethsemane, Jesus made a decision to follow the Father. You know, he said, let this cup go away. That's the one possibility, but he took God, Father's will And said, yeah, but then your will be. And then he took God's father's will. He's making the same decision right here. Do you understand? This is a Jones version of a prayer at the Gethsemane. Amen? In other words, this is how Father's glory will come to be shown. This is the glory that Jesus is really talking about. So, let's read again, verse 20. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Or in other Gospels, he said, let this cup go away from me. No, of course not. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. He prays that way. And we can't, you know, you cannot, you see, Christians, not even Christians, don't imagine that Jesus would pray this way. And at this time, you know, in this, glorify, Father, glorify your name. How? Huh? By me dying. You do it, go ahead and do it. That's for Father's glory. Amen? You see? Then the voice came from heaven. Yes, Father liked it. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Father understood what Jesus said. Okay, I will do it. As you decide to do it, yeah, I receive it. And that's why I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. The crowd that was there and heard it, said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. They didn't understand. And in verse 30, Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, in fact, not mine. Jesus knew what the Father is thinking, and he didn't have to hear Father's voice. And so Jesus said, this is for you, for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. That's a glory, isn't it? But how did it happen? By Jesus dying on the cross. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death. John comments that. Make sure the readers understand this. Because it's so easy to misunderstand. You want to talk about the glory, 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 yay! Splendor, wonderful, people. Nothing of that. Completely opposite of it. But it's glory. Right? So John makes sure that you understand this, what Jesus is talking about. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Hallelujah. You know, in other words, if you have a heart and motivation always to try to show yourself. And that is the praise of man that you're seeking, obviously. Show to whom? Showing to God? You don't have to show it to God. He sees you. He knows. You know, why are you doing it in front of people then? They like to just show to the people. Show to the people so that the people will do that. It has nothing to do with the kind of glory that Jesus is talking about here. Completely opposite. Hallelujah. Seems like Christians have a hard time understanding this. They can understand with head, but then 10 minutes later, they just do the same thing they used to do, and just do everything, showing to the people. Nothing changes. You cannot bear fruit that way. You remember Jesus talked about bearing fruit and become disciples, and it is to my Father's glory, both. And becoming disciples means denying yourself and take up your cross. Amen? And bearing fruit. You want to bear fruit? Yes, that's good. You want. But you want to show. You're not denying yourself. Impossible to bear fruit. You know, try to understand the heart of God. Maybe this, and this is maybe it'll help you. Let's go to Matthew. Chapter 6. I read sometimes this so that people can understand it, maybe. Okay. It says, chapter 6, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness. So acts of righteousness, good. But before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. You can say this reward that the Father, would have given if he didn't do it, to show it to the people, is the glory. You can say reward, glory. But he cannot give anymore. Because that person is already taking it, by himself and showing it, and so that the people, and that's what he wants instead of doing. What else can I give? Father says. Yeah? Same thing, verse 2. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with the trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored, to be praised by men. I tell you the truth, they have already received their reward. What kind of reward? Praise. So, what else can I give then? The God said. They have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know that your right hand is doing. Meaning, as I explained a lot of time, do not think in yourself that you are doing good thing. Do not even think that you are doing good thing. Do not let yourself know it. Oh, you're doing good. Be glad that you're doing good job. Good job. Don't say that to yourself. Wow. Do you understand? And so that your giving may be in secret. Think about how God, seeing you that way, doing good things in secret, and nobody knows it. But you did a good thing. Father likes it so much. And this time, Father wants to show it. Father will do it. It's not going to be hidden forever. It's going to be hidden for a short time, of course, because that person doesn't show it. It takes time a little bit. But eventually, God will show it. Look at what this man did. Father is so proud of that person. And gives glory to that person. That's how he gives glory. Hallelujah. But then when that happens, he said, no, not me. Because he himself doesn't think he did a good thing. What? No, I didn't do it. God did it. He told me to do it, and then maybe I did it, but then that's it. So what? Give him back. Father likes it. And he smiled a little bit at the beginning. He smiled like this, oh, so happy. Then I'll give him more. Jesus was like that. Try to understand the heart of God. Hallelujah. You know, when someone, even a human, don't you think in it? Sometimes you see, even the kids, you know, they try to be praised. So come and say, look at what I did. This is cute. A couple of times cute. But he always comes and says, look at this. Say something. You know, like, oh my gosh. I don't feel like saying anything. Somebody taught that child, you know, to receive, how to receive praise from men. And once they learn that kind of thing, they will just do it instinctively. You know. Be careful, therefore, when you kind of, when kids do, and your children do a good job, don't say praise more than necessary, how can I say, in an irresponsible way. Sometimes people do it, you know, as the world does it. Even to their own children, I can't imagine, I mean, no way. So dirty. And kids, of course, love it. And then every time, so they expect the praise like that. And everything they do, you see, they do that for that purpose. So ugly. To me, so ugly. I don't want to say anything to that kind of children. Don't raise children to be like that. Very important. Once they have that kind of character, later they can maybe learn from the Bible, it's not good. Very difficult to read. They say, think about owning an adults. How long did it take, or how long? Still taking, maybe, to erase that. Amen. This is a satanic, very satanic to me. Very satanic. It steals God's glory from you. God wants to give glory to you. It steals. And it cannot be used by God. Be careful, therefore. When people come and praise you, don't receive it. And sometimes you can't, you know, you don't do it. You don't show it. But the people come and do like that. Don't receive it from inside. Yes, I did it like that. It's okay that they say it, and you cannot stop them. Don't bad. You cannot say that. You know, like it's a sort of out of manner. Then it's rude. You cannot do that. Yeah, but learn not to receive it inside. You didn't do it. God did it. Give back right away. Give back to God. Give glory back to God. And those who learned it, they're going to be, you know, used by God. God is, you know, so glad to give glory to them, that kind of people. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Did you learn anything today?